You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
You know, who has enjoyed the last few weeks that we've had in church? Hasn't it been an incredible time with our Gateway Summit and breaking new ground with that? And then celebrating people be baptized last week was incredible as well. You know, how amazing is it to be part of a vibrant church community? And, you know, as a church, as we already heard... Is this still on? It is. As a church, as we just heard, we're heading into a season of celebration. You know, we have a reason to celebrate every day, and we should celebrate every day. You know, we have a reason to celebrate because of Jesus and all that he's done for us. But in a couple of weeks' time, we celebrate a milestone. You know, we celebrate 40 years as a church. What a rich legacy that we have as a church. And, you know, when you think about legacy, what is it that you think about? You know, maybe you think about your favorite football player and the impact that they had on your team. Maybe you think about a politician and the stamp that they made on our nation. But the dictionary, it defines legacy as the long-lasting impact of particular events, actions that took place in the past or in a person's life. So if I think personally about legacy, you know, I think about that my grandfather had a very dry sense of humour. And he passed that down to my father, who passed it down to me. I also think about how my grandfather and my grandmother both barracked for Essendon. Now, we won't talk about last night. We can forget about that for a moment. My father is an Essendon supporter. Unfortunately, it breaks my heart, my mother barracks for Collingwood. Yeah, exactly. But that was passed down to me. Another. We always had Fords in our household. Yes, that's right. But Warren's very disappointed because I might have bought a Holden. I apologise, Warren, and I apologise, Dad. And maybe a more serious example is that I count it an honour to be a part of a family that has a legacy when it comes to ministry as well. You know, I'm a third generation pastor, fourth plus generation Pentecostal, and the roots run deep in the family. And, you know, I count that as such an honour and something to reflect on and remember. So when we think about the legacy that we've been given as a church, when we think about the legacy that we have as individuals, can we allow it to cause a moment of reflection for us? That we would remember God's faithfulness to those who have gone before us and to celebrate that we get to stand on their shoulders, that we get to walk in what was established and we get to walk in what is underway. You know, we have so much as a church to nurture, to steward, to care for because of God's faithfulness to us as a church community. And can we choose to incline our hearts with thankfulness to him in this season? You know, that we celebrate and we have a good time, but we remember God and his faithfulness to us. And we also celebrate the faithfulness of those who have gone before us. You know, their generosity, their devotion to God. You know, what an incredible honor that we get to walk in the victories that the previous generation saw. You know, this is something worth celebrating and remembering. You know, for what the people that have been in our church for a long time have contributed, the work that they've done, or maybe for a little time, what has been contributed to making something beautiful, to making a rich, vibrant church with a great legacy. So what is our response to this? What is our response to receiving something of such significance is that we can choose to respond to the opportunity to build upon it and ensure that we are passing on something of significance and a firm foundation for the generations to come. So as I speak this morning and as we come around the word, can I encourage you to take time to reflect and think about the people that have gone before you? You know, the people in our church, the people in our families, in our world, and how that has impacted you as an individual and how it's impacted us as a church, as a collective as well. So let's pray before we go any further. Lord God, I thank you for your word. We open our hearts to you that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, God, that you would lead us in the direction that you have for us. God, we thank you for your unending faithfulness toward us. And God, I pray that as we seek you, that our faithfulness to you would grow in response to that. Amen. Amen. Well, a biblical example of legacy is Moses and Joshua. So we see this moment in Exodus chapter 4, where the Israelites have been delivered from captivity in Egypt through an amazing miracle and God's provision for them. They've experienced his provision in the desert, miraculously being provided food to eat. And then we see that God makes a covenant with Moses and the Israelite people. But then in Exodus chapter 24, verse 12, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain, stay there, and I will give you the tablets of stone on which I have inscribed the instructions and commands so you can teach the people.' So Moses and his assistant Joshua set out. And Moses climbed up the mountain of God. Moses told the elders, 'Stay here and wait for us until we come back. Aaron and Hur are here with you. If anyone has a dispute while I'm gone, consult with them.'" You know, Moses could have gone up to the mountain by himself. Now, he could have responded to God and gone up there by himself, but God had given him an understanding that he needed to invest into a successor, that there was value in bringing someone else, someone from the next generation, along on the journey. You know, Moses understood that what God was doing in that moment wasn't just for that moment, but it was for the generations to come. And not just the next generation, but the generations to come. So he invited Joshua to join him on this journey. And throughout the following years, we see that Moses models godliness and how to commune with God, how to have great faith for Joshua, you know, teaching him how to listen to God, how to hear God's voice, and how to act on God's direction in great faith. You know, Moses made sure that what he knew of God's faithfulness, what he knew of God's provisions, of his lessons of being faithful, that it wouldn't go out with him, but that it would continue beyond his lifetime. That what God had done in his life would leave a legacy for those that would come after him. You know, for us, there are people that have gone before us that have modeled what it means to be faithful to God, how to have a relationship with him, how to worship, how to spend time in prayer, how to fellowship. And we do the same for those coming after us. You know, we can choose to include each other in the journey, to bring the generations along with us and to build a legacy together, a legacy with a foundation of strength. You know, if I think back over my life about some of these moments, particularly when I was younger, is having some friends who were older than me that chose to include me. You know, some might say I was a bit mature for my age. Maybe they were immature for their age, so we kind of met in the middle. But they went out of their way to include me, and it caused me to lift my eyes, to grow beyond my years. You know, I remember as a young teenager being invited to go to men's camps, men's meetings at church. It was like, no 13-year-old has the right to be there. But I was included in some of the conversations, some of the investment that I received through those moments of the legacy being passed down set me up for where I'm at today. You know, we see another biblical example of legacy in Jesus. You know, all throughout the Gospels, as through Jesus's ministry and performing signs and wonders and miracles, we see him constantly reminding and indicating to the disciples that, you know, there's a time coming soon where I'm not going to be here anymore. And I think it kind of went over their heads a little bit because they, you know, Jesus is always going to be here with us. But Jesus knew that there was a time coming where they would have to step out on their own. And he was intentional with the disciples about teaching them lessons, about passing on what the Father spoke to him about, that they might not just follow in his footsteps, but go even further than what Jesus did. Now, have you ever started a new job without any initiation, without any crossover or handover period with the person that goes before you? It's not very easy, is it? You kind of got to write the manual yourself. Because it's so much easier when somebody shows you the way. You know, we have an opportunity, church, to show the next generation that those coming after us the way. You know, whether it's in our church, whether it's in our community, in our family, we can show the way to the next. And can I encourage you this morning that if you're a first generation Christian, if you don't come from a Christian family, that I think that is incredible, that you've made a decision to change history, to change the path of your family. And be encouraged that that's what the church is here for, so that you can lean on the church, that you can learn from those who have gone before. You can be encouraged and you can be spurred on. Now, John chapter 14 from verse 12, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask for anything in my name and I will do it." You know, greater things, greater works. What a statement. No, what a statement. You know, we can have this same heart that we would be spurred on from this, that what we pass on to the next would be a foundation for them to do even greater things. You know, and that we would thank God and honor the faithful that have gone before us and believe to see even greater as well. You know, that we take those after us on the journey and believe that our finish line will only be their starting line. Amen. So some lessons about legacy. The first is that we reap the harvest sown by previous generations. You know, firstly, can I say what an honor? What an honor. You know, it's amazing to pioneer something new, to start something from scratch, to build something up. But what an incredible honor it is to pick up something that is already in progress and take it further. You know, like a relay race, there's a collective mission. It's to get to the finish line, to achieve, for us, is to achieve God's purposes for us. You know, we get to take the baton and we get to run with it, take it further than it's ever been before. You know, as a church, we get to walk in the winds of the previous generations. You know, our church is 40 years old this year, but did you know that roughly for the first 20 years, it didn't have a permanent home? Now, the church moved from location to location before God gave the vision and the courage to Pastor Phil to step out in something. And, you know, for 20 years, we've been able to have a permanent home here at Gateway. You know, what an amazing win. What an amazing foundation that we can build upon. You know, that through the years, against the odds, that when maybe Christianity is declining in our society, that God has remained faithful to this church and it's here today, 40 years later. You know, what an incredible legacy. Now, Joshua chapter 1 from verse 1 says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses.'" You know, Moses led the Israelites right to the edge of the promised land, and he gave them a foundation of faith that the next generation could walk in the promises of God. You know, those who know the story would know. Was Moses perfect? No, he wasn't perfect, but none of us are perfect. But despite that, the next generation was able to take what he did and build upon it. You know, because of Moses' faith, despite his flaws, the next generation got to walk into the promise. So a question for us today is who has gone before us and who is coming after us? You know, what have you received through legacy and what are you passing on? You know, we can thank God and we celebrate his faithfulness to us. You know, we've inherited so much, but we also have the privilege of passing something on. Now, the second point today is that we water the seeds sown by previous generations. Because we don't always just receive the fruit. We don't just receive the harvest when we talk about legacy, but we receive a foundation to believe in faith for something even greater, just like Jesus declared to the disciples. You know, you think for a moment that maybe you inherit a building and it's 75% completed. Now, what do you do? Do you just say, that's great, thank you. Thank you that I inherited this building. I'm just going to like leave it 75% completed. Or do you go out of your way to pull together resources, to work hard to see it reach its completion, to see the vision and the building restored? Now, I think there's times that we can be a little bit like that. We receive something from the people that have gone before and it's 75% completed and we just sit on it. Where God's calling for us to believe in faith to see it through to its completion. Because there are times when we receive the promise while it's still underway. Now, how do we respond when we receive the promise when we haven't seen it in its completion yet? Well, we water it, we nurture it, and we believe for it. We stand on it in faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, I planted the seed in your heart, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are God's workers and you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Now, what a powerful scripture. You know, I could just pray and we could go home now. But, you know, there's so much truth in this scripture. Now others are building on it. You know, we are the others that get to build upon the foundation that's been given to us. You know, what a privilege that we get to water the seeds that have already been planted, that we get to build on the foundation that has been laid by those who have gone before us. But we get to choose to be expert builders, laying a foundation for those who will come after us as well. But I love in this scripture that it ends talking about how Jesus is the true foundation. That we must remember that it's Jesus and Jesus alone that is the solid foundation that underpins it all. Now you think you've got a single story house. It's a nice house, but it's time to add an additional story. You know, the first story that's already been built, can it support a second story? You know, maybe not. Maybe what's already been built can't support the next. But that's why you have to drill down into the foundations to firm up the structure, because the foundation supports both. It supports what's already been built and what is to be built. You know, Jesus Christ is our foundation and we build upon those that have gone before us. But we must remember that Jesus is the foundation. It's not the work. It's not what has been completed. It's Jesus that is the foundation. Now, the third thing today is to tell the story. Tell the story. Judges chapter 2 verse 10 says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. You know, this scripture takes place just one generation after what we read earlier. You know, after Joshua died, there was no legacy passed on to the next generation. Because part of setting up a foundation, of building a legacy, is telling the story. You know, that's the importance of celebration, is that it testifies of God's goodness. It testifies of God's faithfulness to those who have gone before us. Now, I truly believe that if we don't take the time to listen to the stories, to listen to the journeys, then it becomes much easier for us to take for granted what God has given to us. And then try to do it our own way, forgetting that it was God who brought about the miracle in the first place. Or maybe we attribute the wins to somewhere else other than God. You know, we can come to church on Sunday, even here at Gateway, and see the building and think, it's a nice building. It's great that we get to meet. But we can forget to remember that it's God who provided. It's God who gave the vision. That we can forget the miracles that happened for us to be in this place today. Forget about the sacrifices that were made by the previous generations. Forget about the hours of prayer and seeking God for his provision and the dedication. You know, we can forget that God moved mightily to make this happen, that God provided and that the generation responded with faithfulness. Now, can I encourage you to take time to hear the stories? And not just hear them, but really listen. To understand God's faithfulness to us as a church. That it would encourage us, that it would inspire us, that it would cause us to take great care of all that he's given to us, but also to give us the faith to believe that he'd do it again. To give us the faith to believe that he can do even greater. Because it's not celebration for the sake of celebration. You know, cake's yummy, and there will be cake at our 40-year birthday, because it's not a birthday without cake. But we're not celebrating for the sake of it. We're celebrating as a testimony of God's goodness. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." Now, who wants to run the race with endurance that God has set before us? You know, when it talks about a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, it's talking about the faithful ones that have gone before. You know, this is Hebrews 12, in Hebrews 11, it talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. You know, all these great biblical examples of faith and how their faithfulness spurs us on and encourages us to follow God faithfully for ourselves. But we also have many examples of faith-filled people within this church, within our church community. You know, can we celebrate each other? Can we spur each other on? Can we allow our faith to build faith in each other, to build upon the foundation that we have for those that will go on mission with for God's purposes and those that will go after us? Because today's decisions are tomorrow's legacy. You know, what we celebrate today is a result of decisions that were made some time ago. Now, a question for us today is, what am I doing to build a legacy for tomorrow? Now, am I choosing to sow seeds of faith that will outlive even me? You know, in my family, with my friends, in my church community, in my connect group. You know, maybe the seeds start as simple as making a decision to pray together with your family, to build an atmosphere of faith. You know, it's easier to make a decision to pray together when the times are good, so that you can continue it when the times are bad. Make a decision to build faith and to speak with faith. Make a decision to build up and not tear down. You know, we need to be about building up legacies, not tearing down legacies. Amen. You know, what am I doing to build a legacy for tomorrow? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22 says, "It is good to have something to pass down to your grandchildren, but wealth hidden away by sinners will be given to those who live right." You know, this legacy that we pass on, if it's built on the right foundation, it will stand the test of time. You know, that scripture says to pass down to grandchildren. You know, the legacy impacts not just the next, but the generations to come when the foundation is in Jesus. You know, what we do today does not just impact us or the next generation, but the future generations. So what's our response today? What is our response today? You know, I believe there's two things that God is wanting to encourage us with. The first is, you know, what is my awareness or understanding of the legacy that we've inherited as a church? Now, what's my awareness or understanding of the previous provision of God, how God has provided in the past? Do I know the stories of God's faithfulness? You know, that this would stir thankfulness and gratitude in our hearts to God, but also those who have gone before us. Whether it was 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, or 2 weeks ago, that the foundations that are being laid, that we would hear the stories, that we would remember the stories, and we would pass on the stories. And the second thing is that what legacy am I building? Now, our legacy can have an eternal impact that lasts longer than we do. You know, a legacy that isn't just remembered out of honor or out of the act of remembrance, but a legacy that contains a substance of faith, of God's provision, a legacy that rests on a faithfulness to God. You know, that we would be remembered as a people who stand firm on God's word, who stand firm on His promises, and are led by the Holy Spirit. You know, this doesn't have to wait until we're old to build a legacy. You know, it starts today. You know, we remember those who have gone before us in the decades before, in the years before. But let's remember the weeks before as well. You know, in Gateway Youth, you know, I refuse to refer to our young people as next generation leaders, because we need them today. You know, we need teenagers today. You know, we need their input. We need their devotion. We need their leadership today. You know, their leadership's not for tomorrow. You know, it's my heart that the foundation that we're laying, that they can start to pick it up and run with it right now. That it doesn't have to wait until we're old for the generations to come to start building upon it. We need every generation working together toward God's purposes. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9 says, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord had commanded Moses." You know, Moses was intentional about passing on his authority to Joshua. He was intentional about passing on the legacy to Joshua. Now, can we be intentional about passing on what we have to others, to spurring others on, to encouraging them and telling the story? You know, let's take time to hear the stories and not just hear them, but really listen. To understand God's faithfulness, that it would encourage us, inspire us, cause us to take great care of all that He's given to us, to thank God and celebrate and believe for Him to do it again, that He might move mightily like He has before, that we would lay a strong and firm foundation for those that come after us. Can we pray this morning, church? Lord God, I thank You for Your faithfulness to us as a church. God, we know that without you that we wouldn't be here today, God. God, and I pray that over the coming weeks as we celebrate all that you've done, God, that the stories of your provision, of your faithfulness, God, of people's dedication, of their sacrifice, that it would leave an imprint on our hearts. And God, that it would cause us to lift our eyes to all that you have for us. God, that we would have an increase of faith to believe for even greater. God, that we would believe for you to move mightily in our church and in our community, God. God, I pray that the seeds that we sow today, that they would find good soil. God, that you would cause them to grow. God, that as we water and as we nurture the miracle that is underway, God, we believe for you to move mightily. God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. God, and we ask that you would cause us to grow in faithfulness to you. Amen. Amen. Well, when I think about legacy, it's hard to go past the legacy that Jesus left for all of us, of doing what we couldn't do and making a way for us to be in relationship with God. You see, we were separated from God because of humanity's sins and the times that we chose to turn our back on him because of our doubts. But because of God's great love for us, he sent his son Jesus to earth. And Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. He did what we couldn't do. And then he took our sins and he carried them and he died on the cross in our place. But he didn't stay dead, because on the third day he rose victorious over all sin and death, conquering sin and death once and for all, and creating a pathway for all those who choose to believe in him to be restored into relationship with God. You know, this morning, if you don't have Jesus as a part of your life, if you've never made a decision to turn away from sin and turn to Jesus, today you have the opportunity to make him a part of your life. And it's the greatest decision that you could ever make. You know, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, accepting God's grace and his forgiveness, it's as simple as acknowledging and admitting that you've done wrong by God. Believing and declaring your belief in God and in his son Jesus, and accepting Jesus into your heart and making him a part of your everyday life. So if that's you this morning and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, we're going to say a prayer together as a church, and I would encourage you to speak it out loud. A prayer of declaration and turning of our lives to him. So can we pray all together, church? Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to make a way for me to be in relationship with you. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. I choose today to follow you. Amen. Amen. We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.